You want to take calls? You want to go right to the Mets here?
We could throw the Mets out there because I'm sure, and I was just saying this to Ernie off air, that a lot of people listening right now at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday probably didn't watch
a lot of the conclusion
of the Yankee game.
I did not see the entire Met game.
Or the Met game.
Right.
Just because.
It started 2 hours late, an hour and a half.
I completely understand it. And for me, the main reason why I was ultra motivated more than ever to be at this game, to stay at this game, and to enjoy a baseball game. Number one, the Mets have been on the road for 16 of 21 games.
Right.
Yep. So I've barely been at Citi Field.
Right.
And number two, it was therapy for me last night. I need to get my mind off the basketball situation.
Yes.
And watching mock drafts has not helped because all that does is frustrate me.
The aggravation level gets higher every day.
So I was figuring at 4 or 5 o'clock, they're not playing. I'm looking at the weather forecast. I'm thinking, they're not going to play today.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
And luckily, I said to myself, because the Mets hadn't posted a lineup yet, if they post a lineup, maybe they're serious about playing. And they opened up the gates. So I figured I'll go over there, try some new food over at Citi Field, which I did. I had chicken, salsa verde chicken or something. Tacos. They were okay. All right, and, you know, they were okay. And we had a game that began at 8:45, and Steven Matz is an enigma because there are days where you watch him, a la last night, and parts of this season, where you fall in love, where you think,
oh, really, he hadn't really pitched bad. Until the eight run nobody out game.
But he's had a lot of those throughout his career.
Yeah.
One that jumps out at me was 2 years ago. I think it was his first or second start of the year against the Marlins. And he had a very similar, knocked out in the first inning, gave up a bunch of run kind of start. So, and I think with lefties in general, because I feel we were like this with John Neese. You're waiting for it to all click.
Yeah.
You're waiting for the guy to become a star.
I think the potential is better than John Neese.
I agree.
I agree.
But we still
really haven't seen it blossom yet.
Yeah, but yesterday we did. I mean, he came out of the gate. He retired the first six guys.
I mean, we have seen that.
No doubt. And, you know, he got through the third inning, which I thought was his most impressive work because he puts the first two guys on base.
Right.
Arrieta gets the bunt down. I thought he had to play a third, but whatever. And then he strikes out McCutchen and gets JT Realmuto to ground out. That's not bad.
It was huge. That was huge.
So then he makes the mistake to Rhys Hoskins, gets into trouble again, finds his way out of that inning, and then cruised over the last two innings. It was really impressive performance by Steven Matz.
And it helped that Bryce Harper gets himself thrown out of the game in the fourth inning. That didn't hurt either.
It sure did, because instead of Realmuto and Hoskins being split up by Bryce Harper late in games, it was split up by Roman Quinn, who struck out two more times. Mm-hmm. And that was a big blow to Philadelphia. And Jake Arrieta is a very honest guy. I don't know what his teammates think about his honesty, but he's an honest guy. And after the game, he took a shot at Bryce. And it was a compliment, but it was also a shot saying, you can't do that. I need him out there. I need him in right field. I need his bat. We all need his bat. You can't have that happen. And he's 100% right. Because in the fourth inning of this game, Bryce Harper cannot get himself ejected. He can't get himself ejected because he's whining about some calls he didn't like. Can't have it happen. You give the umpire an earful, but you can't get ejected. It hurts your team. Mm. And Bryce Harper's resume is of a hothead who gets ejected a lot.
Of course. And that's the reason he gets ejected a lot, too, because it won't take much for them to throw him out of a game because of that.
Absolutely.
So these guys are going to have a very short fuse with a guy like Harper.
No question about it. But they miss him. I mean, even though he went over 2-2 strikeouts, he made a big play in the second inning on that Juan Lagares line drive and a nice sliding catch. So he's valuable.
Of course.
Even when he's not hitting. But Pete Alonso had that beautiful double where he kind of flicks the bat out.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, these are my two favorite players on the team now. Alonso and McNeil. I love these guys. I love them.
And think.
How could you not love them?
A year ago, a little bit less than a year ago.
Well, McNeil wasn't even on a team a year ago this time.
Neither guy was on the team a year ago.
Well, we know Alonso wasn't, but not even McNeil.
Right, and I remember.
Who knew who McNeil was?
Well, we did because, here's why we did, or I did, or a lot of Mets fans
did. I didn't know
who
he was.
Because in June when they started falling apart, you always look for who can they call up.
Right.
And Jeff McNeil was tearing it up at AA.
Right.
They finally called him up to AAA and then eventually called him up to the major leagues where he proceeded to hit 350 or whatever he did. Alonso never got the call. But those were two guys that were at least bright spots in the minor leagues while the Mets were collapsing in the month of May and June. But who knew that not only would they get the call, but they would be such valuable pieces of this team less than a year later.
Yeah. Right now, to me, they're the two best hitters on the team. Those are the two best hitters the Mets have right now.
And it's
I got more confidence in them than anybody right now.
It's the nature, too, of how Alonso does it. That RBI double was as impressive a hit as he had all year. 450-foot home runs or 450 home runs.
Right.
2-2 count, Jake Arrieta, and flicking the bat out and ripping a double pass first base. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's terrific. So far, it's only a short sample size, but the guy's got 8 homers, 21 RBIs already. He's batting, what, about 330, whatever he's batting?
Yeah.
He's been phenomenal. McNeil's unreal. McNeil's ridiculous. Guy's got 100 hits already in his career. He got a home run, his first home run last night, got a couple hits again. He's showing his versatility because he can play second, he can play third, he plays the outfield. You got to love the guy. I love him.
And it creates competition, too, because Todd Frazier came back last night. He got a base hit, stole a base, didn't do much after that. He is good defensively at third base.
Yeah, no, he's good defensively.
I can't say he's better than McNeil defensively, but I know he's better than J.D. Davis, at least from the sample size we've seen.
I'd rather see Davis at the plate, but you're right about that.
Right, but what the options that you have is, I look at a guy like Brandon Nimmo, and I was talking about this with the guy I went with last night, a friend of mine. And I said, here's the thing about Brandon Nimmo. He strikes out a ton. He's not hitting for a high average. But the one thing he does consistently is get on base.
Right.
And ultimately, that's what you want from your leadoff hitter, guy who gets on base. And while I hate strikeouts, I despise strikeouts, believe it or not, and this is not new age analytics, this is my thought, just as a baseball fan, I believe that leadoff hitter striking out it's not that big of a deal. And the reason I don't think it's a big deal is most of the time leadoff hitters, guys who hit first in the order, are not up with guys on base.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, you're not getting a productive out if nobody's on base. Where contact matters is when you bat second, when you bat third, at least a little bit more, because now you can get a productive out. If Brandon Nimmo is up, and if I'm not mistaken, every time Brandon Nimmo was up, with the exception of the seventh inning, actually, maybe his last two at-bats, came up with nobody on base. Because usually leadoff hitters come up with nobody on base. The strikeout's overrated. It's about getting on base. But I look at Nimmo and say, he's not valuable anywhere else in the batting order. To me, if I had Brandon Nimmo seventh or eighth, and I remember that sparked him. I think he's useless.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I don't think he's as valuable. I think his value is that he can get on base at an incredibly high clip. With that said, Jeff McNeil does it all. He gets on base. He hits. He has struck out a few times this year, but it's not a huge number.
No. Well, he's a contact hitter. He's a throwback. Jeff McNeil, to me, is a throwback hitter. That's what he is. He puts the bat on the ball. He's not trying to elevate and hit home runs. He'll hit a home run occasionally like last night. That's not what his game is. You got to love that. I love this guy.
No doubt.
And how about, what is it, mysterious illness here to Rosario? All of a sudden, the guy's committed 5 errors this week, so he don't play tonight because of that. Isn't that really why they didn't play him last night?
The reason I don't think that's the case is they had to call up a player to not have him play. I don't think you're doing that unless something's wrong with him, and he has the flu. That's what they said it is, flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, it's called defensive flu.
Yeah, but what, are you just sitting him because of it?
No, I don't know.
No, I think he has the flu.
All right.
I'm with you on believing conspiracies at times.
Right.
I actually think the guy's just sick, and he had a bad week defensively. There's no doubt. I can't defend that.
We can't continue to have a bad week defensively.
No, and the thing is,
especially
the way,
your shortstop, who's going to play 160 games this year. Let's be honest.
And also, the way the Met roster is built is they're not carrying any backup shortstop.
No, right.
They literally called up Guillerme to play shortstop because Rosario was sick. That's how they're going to handle shortstop.
I understand.
Now, I don't think you're calling a guy up just to sit him down for a few days. We'll see if he plays today.
Right.
The Cano thing was fascinating to me, and I SNY is so terrible at posting the complete Mickey Callaway press conference. I'd love to see it. So if you're listening, SNY, you should post that. I'd love to see it. I'm not sitting there watching a post-game show, especially when I'm at the game. But I saw Robbie Cano pinch hits, right, in the seventh inning. They get Arrieta out of the game. And now Gabe Kapler goes to the lefty, Jose Alvarez, and Mickey pulls Cano back to go to J.D. Davis. So I'm thinking, wait a second. You never pull Robbie Cano back, right? I don't care what his batting average is. You're not pulling Cano back because of a lefty coming named the Jose Alvarez. Give me a break. So my thought, and I don't know if Mickey said it again because I couldn't hear his postgame, was he even available?
Yeah.
Did he deke the crap out of Gabe Kapler to get Arrieta out of the game?
Maybe he did.
I hope he did because I'd give Mickey major props for that.
Well, I hope Cano doesn't have any major injury. It doesn't seem like he does, but you never know.
Yeah, no,
because he was just starting. Cano was just starting. This weekend in St. Louis, he started to hit. He had that 3-hit game on Friday night. He's starting to hit. Hit a home run over the weekend. And you're like, okay, Cano's starting to hit now. And the last thing he needs now is to get him beat out of the lineup.
Yeah, I figure if it was serious, they would just instantly put him on the injured list because they're deep enough to deal with it.
Right,
especially with Todd Frazier coming back. So it doesn't seem like it's serious. And I don't know, but just in general, the idea that you would pull back Robbie Cano because Jose Alvarez probably did. Yeah. So I'm thinking he deked
Gabe
Kapler.
And if he left Arrieta in the game, he probably still would have had Cano hit. He probably would have, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, no, at that point.
You have to have it.
I think he just knew he was getting Arrieta out of the game.
Right, probably.
But it was a nice victory for the Mets. I'm very interested to see how the Phillies bounce back after Arrieta's comments, just to see, does the
team
respond?
Taking a shot at Harper?
Yeah.
Good. Let him have dissension. I'm good. I'm high on dissension for the Phillies.
I'm with you, too, but it can go two ways. They could also respond and score 12 runs tonight. Bryce could go 5 for 5.
They could.
Or they could wilt.
Yeah. But Wheeler pitched a pretty good game the last time out.
He did.
We'll see. We'll see what you get out of him tonight. But it is a good win. And that division, I mean, you talk about you really do. You have like four teams that could probably win the division. And it's what they tied for first now with the Phillies, right?
Yeah, everybody's.
For what that's worth 22 games into.
Yeah, it's not really worth much. But Atlanta, Washington, Philly, the Mets, they're all off to very similar starts.
Right.
I think the one thing everybody has in common is everybody's bullpen is garbage. That's what everybody has in common.
Right.
Nobody has a good bullpen. If you think the Mets have a bad bullpen, check out Washington.
Great article today by Joel Sherman about that. Did you read the stuff that Joel Sherman today about the bullpens in Major League Baseball? How they become, because of all the use of these relief pitches now over the years, that these guys are getting too familiar to the hitters, and that's one of the reasons the relief pitches are not doing what they
have done
in the past.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's an interesting theory.
It is.
One thing I'm thinking, and obviously this isn't home runs, but one of the reasons why offenses to me in general are up is I am noticing many more players beating the shift, more so than ever.
Yeah, now you're seeing that.
And
yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
If that's the case, I think now defensive alignments are going to have to respond saying, should we shift nearly as much if guys are going to be capable? I mean, I'll take a guy who hasn't had a lot of at-bats, but every time he gets an at-bat, he comes through. Dom Smith. How great is Dom Smith?
He's been unbelievable. I'm 100% with you.
And I sort of feel for him because he can't start.
Right. There's no place for him.
Unless they play him in the outfield, which I'm a big proponent of.
Yeah,
why not?
Ahead. Okay.
Get the kid some at-bats. But Dom Smith has beaten the shift 5 times already.
Yeah.
Not last night. Last night was a line drive. But nevertheless, we've seen so much of that. We've seen Robbie Cano beat the shift. We've seen Aaron Judge.
He goes to left field a lot, Robbie Cano.
That's why they probably shouldn't shift him.
Right. Well, there's a lot of guys they shouldn't. They do it to Conforto, too. And I'm like, Conforto can hit the ball to left field.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's just, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think that's a part of it. I think there's a lot of parts of what's happened to bullpens and pitching in general. Maybe it's the familiarity, like Joel said. Maybe it is guys beating the shift. Yeah. Maybe it's the baseball.
And I also think another part of it is that everybody now throws 100 miles an hour, and these hitters now have adjusted to that.
Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing so much more breaking balls than you used to see before. I mean, I think that's a big part of it.
Meanwhile, on a very similar note, the offense in the fan baseball league that I run is way down. I mean,
really?
The offense is down. We had a
two. So the pitching is up. Did you elevate the mound in your league?
Did nothing.
No?
Here's what I think it is.
Are you pitching again or no?
I was unable to play over the weekend, so I didn't pitch in that game because I didn't play. And the week before that, I didn't pitch. So I have not towed the mound yet. Maybe that's why the offense is down.
Okay.
But I think that this time of year, for guys who aren't having spring trainings, I think bats are just slow as hell. And it's easier just to pitch than the bats are just slow as hell. But that's fan baseball
for a bunch of
guys.
You got a game Sunday this week?
Yes, there will be a big doubleheader this weekend between the Mink Men and the Mongos.
Playing two?
There'll be a doubleheader, yes.
Let's play Ernie Banks. Let's play two.
That's right.